Welcome to XY Files. I'm Dr. Susan Carter, an endocrinologist and longevity expert specializing in hormone balance, metabolism, and the aging process. Today, we're diving into FDA peptide regulations and what's actually legal today. All right, quick gut check. Have you ever tweaked a shoulder at the gym? Had that nagging elbow tendon pain that just won't quit? And then you see a guy online saying, "Bro, BPC 157 fixed me in a week." And you're like, "Okay, where do I get it?" Yeah, that whole world just changed. Because here's the surprise. The big headline isn't the FDA banned peptides. It's this. The FDA basically told legit compounding pharmacies, there are 17 peptides you can't make anymore, including the one everybody talks about, BPC 157. So today, I'm going to help you sort the chaos into three buckets. What's actually legal through real medical channels, what's effectively off the menu, and what moves you can make so you don't accidentally turn your recovery protocol into a trip to urgent care. Let me start with the most important mindset shift. Here's what most guys don't realize. Peptide legality isn't about what exists on the internet. It's about whether a doctor can legally prescribe it and whether a U.S. licensed pharmacy can legally compound it for you. Think of the FDA like a building inspector. They're usually not coming after a homeowner because he owns a power drill. They're looking at the contractor, the wiring, the permits, the, hey, who installed this and did they follow the rules? Same thing here. Enforcement is typically aimed at manufacturing and distribution, not some guy asking his doctor questions. So, how does this work? In the US, peptides are legal in basically two scenarios. One, it's an FDA-approved drug. Clean, standardized, regulated. Like ordering off the menu at a chain restaurant. Same burger, same ingredients, same nutritional label, every location. Two, it can be compounded under a set of rules called Section 503A. That's when a compounding pharmacy makes a customized medication for an individual patient. Maybe you need a specific dose. Maybe you can't tolerate an ingredient in the commercial product. That's the personal chef model. But that chef still has rules. To legally compound something, the active ingredient has to either be part of an FDA-approved drug or it has to be allowed on what's called the 503A bulks list. And then there's the third rail, Category 2. Category 2 is basically the FDA saying, do not use this ingredient in compounding. Full stop. Too risky, too unsupported, too many unanswered questions. And recently, that Category 2 list started including 17 peptides that a lot of men know by name. BPC 157 is the celebrity, but it's not alone. You'll also hear names like Ipamorelin, CJC 1295, Dimosin Beta 4, Kispeptin 10, AOD 9604. So if you're thinking, wait, my clinic offered that last year. Yeah, that's the point. Late 2023 was a turning point, and from 2023 into 2026, scrutiny has been ramping up. Now, why would the FDA do this? Let me translate the big safety concern into normal human language. One of the key worries is immunogenicity, which sounds like a Harry Potter spell, but it's not. It means this. You inject a signaling molecule and your immune system might decide, I don't like that. It can make antibodies. And antibodies can do two bad things. One, you can get allergic type reactions. Hives, swelling, rashes. Two, and this is the scarier we don't fully know part, those antibodies might cross-react with your own natural hormones or tissues, meaning your body could start getting confused about what's you and what's not you. That's one reason the FDA looks at some of these experimental peptides and says, not enough long-term human safety data. Pull it. So let's get practical. If you're a guy listening to this because you want recovery, performance, body comp, or longevity, your biggest question is, what can I still get legally from a real pharmacy? Here's the simple framework. Bucket one, FDA-approved peptides. These remain legal. No drama. Think insulin. Think FDA-approved GLP-1 medications for weight loss and metabolic health. Bucket 2. Compounded peptides that are still allowed under the rules. This is where it gets very specific and very pharmacy dependent. Bucket 3. Peptides that are now on the Category 2 list, which means legit pharmacies are not supposed to compound them for human use anymore. Now let's talk about the big exception that's confusing everyone, the GLP-1s, semaglutide and tirzepac, the Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro and Zepbound universe. Wait, those are peptides too. Why are they everywhere? Because there's a temporary legal pathway tied to the FDA drug shortages list. Think about it like this. If the stadium runs out of hot dogs, they'll allow extra vendors outside to sell hot dogs to meet demand. But once the stadium has plenty again, those outside vendors get shut down. So, semaglutide and tirzepac can remain available via compounding only while the FDA lists the name brand versions as being in shortage. And this is a moving target. One month it's on the list, another month it's not. If it comes off, access is expected to tighten back to the FDA-approved products. That's why you keep seeing News Today posts. The rules can change based on shortage status. Okay, now we have to talk about the elephant in the room, the research use only peptide market. Look, you can still find BPC 157 online in about 8 seconds. You can find CJC 1295, Ipamorelin, all of it. But those sellers aren't pharmacies. They're chemical vendors. And the for research purposes only label is a legal shield for them, not a safety promise for you. It's like buying a car that literally says parts only and then driving it on the highway anyway. If the brakes fail, that's on you. And with injectables, the risk isn't theoretical. It's practical. Sterility, purity, correct dosing, endotoxins, which are basically bacterial leftovers that can make you feel like you got hit by a truck. This is also where guys get burned because the vibe online is, it's fine, everybody does it. But you and me both know everybody does it is not a safety standard. It's how people end up with a swollen, angry injection site and a fever at 2 a.m. So what should you watch for if you've used peptides, especially anything not coming from a legit prescription pharmacy? Pay attention to this. Mild stinging can happen, fine. But if you're getting redness that spreads, heat, swelling, or a hard lump that lasts more than a few days, that's not normal. That's a warning sign. Could be contamination. Could be a significant immune reaction. And if you get fever or chills after an injection, flu-like symptoms shortly after, that's a huge red flag for endotoxin exposure or infection. Also, watch out for full body hives or rash away from the injection site. That's systemic, not local. And vendor red flags. If they only take crypto, don't require a prescription, ship from overseas, and everything is not for human consumption, come on. That is not healthcare. That is you freelancing your immune system. All right, so what do you do with all this? 3 steps. Simple. Step 1, audit your protocol. Go look up the FDA Category 2 list and compare it to what you're taking. If you're using one of those flagged peptides, understand a legit 503A compounding pharmacy generally cannot make that for you now. Now, if you're still getting it, it might be leftover stock being depleted, or it might be something else. Verify, don't assume. Step 2, transition to evidence-based alternatives. I know, nobody wants to hear physical therapy when they wanted a magic file. But for recovery and tendon pain, you've got real options. Smart programming, rehab work you actually do, sleep, protein, creatine, targeted physical therapy, and in some cases, PRP, not hype, real-world tools. And for metabolic health and weight loss, talk with a clinician about the legit GLP-1 pathway and what's available based on current shortage rules. For growth hormone-related medical use, there are still FDA-approved or legally prescribable options for specific indications. But this is not the place to play guessing games with pituitary signaling because someone on a forum said it's basically the same. Not even close. Step 3. Verify your pharmacy. If you're prescribed something compounded, make sure it's coming from a U.S. licensed 503A pharmacy or a 503B outsourcing facility when appropriate. You can literally check licensing through your state board of pharmacy website. Takes 2 minutes. Worth it. Because the bottom line is this. The peptide world used to feel like the Wild West. Now it's getting fenced in. And honestly, that's not all bad. When we move away from mystery vials and toward standardized, evidence-based care, people get safer outcomes. Now, quick lightning round. Common questions and mistakes I hear all the time. A lot of guys think the FDA banned all peptides. But here's the truth. No, the FDA restricted specific bulk substances used in compounding. FDA-approved peptide drugs are still completely legal. Second one, if I buy it for research purposes, it's safe. No, that label is a disclaimer. It does not mean sterile. It does not mean pharmaceutical grade. It does not mean dosed correctly. And third, am I a criminal for having peptides? Most peptides are not controlled substances like testosterone or narcotics. The bigger legal risk tends to be on selling and distributing unapproved drugs for human use, but laws vary by state, and the bigger issue for you is safety, what's in the vial, and what it's doing to your body. So, if this episode made you realize you've been operating on old information, good, that's the win. Check your sources, check your pharmacy, and don't confuse internet availability with medical legitimacy.
If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, and unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.